Good to be with you. Coming to you live today from the Great Plains Empower North Dakota Energy Conference, which is being hosted by three people that don't find themselves here, or at least three out of the four. Governor Jack Dalrymple has been in the room, and he has welcomed people to the conference. Senator John Hoeven is here via video right now, as will be our current guest, which is United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp. It's awful tough to be in two places at once there, Heidi.
Oh, trust me, if I could just somehow morph myself into North Dakota, I would be just the happiest person in this town.
That part I don't doubt you about one bit. Hey, how do you like that new intro to News and Views with the Harley sound? Doesn't that sound better than when you were guest hosting, huh?
You're obsessed. You really are.
It's not a bad obsession. So let's get to the deal bacon. Let's get to the cookie bacon. Let's get to what made the stew. What happened overnight?
Well, you know, now I think Boehner's trying to figure out an alternative plan. So he is floating out using the same time frames that are in the Senate bill, replacing a couple things with the delay of the medical device tax, and then adding an amendment that would change the way members of Congress get their health care. You know, there's been so much talk about how members have exempted themselves from the health care law. That's absolutely not true. If anything, we're all required as members to go into the exchanges. And, you know, the debate has been about whether the government would pay the 70% of the health premiums in the exchange that they pay for everybody else. You know, the members pay about 20% or 20-30%. The federal government pays about 70% of the cost of the premiums, and the question is whether that premium would be put in to made available to members, and this bill would say no. And so
why is it that the House members continue to push, and I heard Congressman Cramer say this, that there was an exemption for Congress when in fact it's been harder for the staff that works for you? The lady at your front desk who's pulling in $30,000 a year tops and living in a 900 square foot apartment with four other girls, the health benefits is one of the few things she does get.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's been the big myth of this all along, which is that members of Congress are exempt from the health care law. I mean, just like Joel, you don't have to go to the exchanges as in your employment. What Congress did, because of an amendment from Grassley, Senator Grassley, who's a conservative from Iowa, they basically said members and their staffs have to go to the exchanges. So not only are we not exempt, we're required to use the health care law. And the question is just whether that portion of the premium that's been paid historically will go with us to the exchange. And, you know, for me, I probably just go back and get health insurance with my husband. That's I've never really had state health insurance in the past, even when I was elected official, because I always used Darwin's health insurance.
Because you're a doctor's wife. But I want to share this with you. This tidbit came to me. It said House Republicans will move their own debt ceiling and call and government funding bill. GOP leaders announced in that closed meeting today the bill will delay Obamacare's medical device tax for 2 years, install income verification for Obama subsidies, and have language to cancel health insurance subsidies for members of Congress and the president's cabinet. Government funding will run until January 15, and the debt ceiling will be lifted until February 7th. What's different in that from your proposal that you worked on and took to leadership?
Well, I mean, we had a 2-year delay for our proposal, which is not the Senate leadership proposal. Our proposal had a 2-year delay on the medical device tax. It also had income verification, and you need to be really careful with income verification because the House language basically would result in the exchanges not working appropriately. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of discussion about the appropriate language, but on both sides there's an interest in doing some kind of income verification. We also had flexibility under sequestration, but in terms of the target dates, one of the things that I was adamant about and one of the reasons why I got involved in the negotiations is I wanted, Joel, a much longer time period for the debt limit, because I think spooking the markets every 3 weeks or 3 months is not the way to do this. And so what they're doing is they're looking at a shorter period of time for the debt ceiling, I think it should be longer. And we argued and were able to negotiate a 3 and 3, which would be 3 months, along with a 3-year 3-month extender. So we had a 6-month extension in the deal that we had. But the deal that the House is proposing right now, the House leadership, is similar to the Senate leadership.
I know you have to get back to work, but how is your proposal? And this is what I got hit with the minute you went off air yesterday. Why are you capitulating to Republicans when you're holding all the cards? And how is your proposal and what you're offering them not just kicking the can down the road so that you end up having to deal with the Tea Party another day?
You know, that is such a kind of a false choice. I think that everybody's saying capitulate. What more do you want? We've got 3 goals here. Open up the government. The second thing is extend the debt limit so we don't default, costing, literally, Joel, we had people in the banking committee who said, if we default, what will happen is almost immediately interest rates on home mortgages would go up 1%. The cost to the American public and North Dakotans would be astronomical. And so for people to say, continue to play this game of chicken and not sit down at a table and negotiate and have a reasoned discussion is not a game that I'm willing to play with the fortunes of American people. And so, you know, I guess accused of compromise, and I think that shouldn't surprise anyone. That was really what I talked about a lot and during the campaign, which is I didn't go here to represent one side or the other. I came here to represent North Dakotans, and I'm doing the best that I can to evaluate all of these choices, and to me, it wasn't good enough. I have 600 families up at Turtle Mountain who are waiting for some general assistance so they can feed their kids. You know what? I worry about them. And so for anyone who says you shouldn't be compromising, I want them to think about what the actual consequences have been to real people, some of the most impoverished people in our state, real people in terms of real consequences, and then argue that we should continue to have this stare down and not move the country forward.
Well, don't get mad at me. I'm just counting the phone call. Senator Heitkamp, if this thing breaks, you give me a call back, okay?
I will. We'll talk to you later.
You bet. Heidi Heitkamp, ladies and gentlemen.